I don't want to see any kind of equal distribution between Bucky Irving, Sean Tucker, and Rashad White. I'm sorry. I'm out the window if that happens.
All righty, here we go. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Rock Riley filling in for Steve, one of the Joes. He's out. But you know what? Lee DeKemper, he is here. And the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the one, the only Ira Kaufman. Sage, how you be?
Played a little golf this morning, 9 holes, shot a 53, breakfast included. The best part of the day was the freaking breakfast, Rock. I'm 3-putting from 12 feet away. Well, what the hell's going on here? I'm changing my putter. I'm blaming the putter, not me. And, Rock, I'm looking forward to, in the near-distant future, we're going to the Big Apple. We're going to NYC. My wife and I've already got tickets to the George Clooney play. It cost me a pretty penny, but she wanted to see George Clooney. And no sooner did I plunk down a lot of money for two tickets in the mezzanine, not in the orchestra. And 2 hours later, I read an announcement on Yahoo or something. George Clooney's play will be televised live on CNN. The next to last performance, April 10th or something. I could have saved myself a lot of money, Rock. But, you know, it's not the same as being in the theater, Rock.
No doubt about that. So I'm looking forward
to getting back to my stomping grounds. I'm thinking about going to my old elementary school, Rock. It's only been 60 years.
There you go. Well, listen, there's not a lack of topics to talk about with your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The offensive coaches were in the media room. We're going to hit on that. Todd Bowles is starting to open up now, and we'll get into all of that. But first, let me tell you about this Ira Kaufman podcast, always brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. 1 mile north of the stadium, right there on Dale Mabry Highway. Now, right now, Bill Curry Ford is offering an employee pricing to everyone on new vehicles, and there are also incentives. That's right. You pay what we pay. Employee pricing for all, and yes, you can even get up to an additional $5,000 off of certain models and no payments for 90 days.
Plus the Sage discount, $500.
There you go. It's all there at BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry Ford is a third-generation family business, and that means a lot. And Bill Curry Ford's GM, you know him, you love him, Sean Sullivan, has the Ira Kaufman. He's got the discount in his pocket.
And you can talk a little bucks while you're over there.
He loves that.
He don't mind it.
So when you go, you just ask for Sean, and you can find his email at BillCurryFord.com. They are impressive from top to bottom at Bill Curry Ford, whether it's service, mobile service, at your home, bodywork, used vehicles, leases, and more.
Open on Sundays, Rock.
I love that. The incredible offers on new vehicles will not last much longer. Don't worry. Drive Curry. It is BillCurryFord.com. And we got to thank our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. That's Florida's Elite Restoration.com. We're going to talk a little bit more about that a little bit later, Sage.
Josh and his group
we'll do
a great job.
Lee, I know you were there. You guys are pumping out, man, the content and the stories. It was the offensive coaches. They were there and taking questions, and I just want to start with Josh Grizzard. Because it's the third year with the new offensive coordinator, and a couple of the coaches kept talking about, at least the terminology is the same. Baker and the offense don't have to start from scratch. He seems like he is a smart guy. He was the third down and passing game coordinator, and Mike Evans told me when they got in that room, they were so prepared. But again, Sage, it's a guy that's never called plays. How do you feel right now after Josh Grizzard talk? What do you think, Sage?
Well, you draw a line and the pros and cons on the pro side. You got continuity. But, Lee, yeah, I do have concerns about Grizzard until he proves to me he can be a mini Liam Cohn. Now, Cohn set a high standard, Lee. He really did, especially with the run game and the schemes. Now, it helps when you have a Bucky Irving and, you know, Canales didn't have that, and your guy Leftwich didn't have it either. But I'm not even sure Leftwich would have known what to do with Bucky Irving. We can throw that out there. Lee, what'd you notice? This is like the second time around for Grizzard at the podium. You notice anything different?
What stuck out to me for Grizzard, yeah, is a lot of cliches. But then again, press conferences, you know, it's about winning games on the field, not how you interact with the press. He thought they could improve on the offense. So, wait a minute, you were like fourth in the league in scoring. He thinks they can improve on that. And one of the reasons he gave that was not cliche was, hey, you know, we're not teaching new offense. Lean was teaching new offense. And obviously you could extend that to Canales. They were teaching new offenses. So he said he's working a lot more individually with his players. Not so much as a unit, but individually. And he figures if they can improve fundamentals, that will lead to more points. But that, as you stated, Ira, that's a hell of a high bar. That you're going to improve from fourth best? Give yourself some leeway, dude.
You know what could knock this offense down a peg, Rock?
Injuries.
Injuries up front. Now, look, Godwin missed half the year. That's a significant injury to a really good player.
Yeah.
But Mayfield missed nothing. And offensively, up front, I believe they missed six starts between the five guys. You can't always count on that, Rock. So depth is okay. It's not great. I think Hainsey, who I've slapped around for 2 or 3 years, I like him as a depth piece, Lee. He can play center. He can play guard.
His greatest attribute, from what I can tell, was being a first-class teammate, helping guy, almost like another assistant coach. That, from what I can tell, was his greatest attribute. Do you remember how Cohn used to say that he would call Haynes up almost the middle of the night on a Wednesday night asking him about install? That's like a second assistant coach. Rock, I do remember, yes, I did ask Josh Grizzard something. I asked him how much input he had in research on Egbuka. Because you figure, okay, a wide receiver, he's the offensive coordinator, he should have some input. And I hearkened to when Dirk Cutter was Lovey's offensive coordinator, drafted Jameis, and I was up at the Pro Day up at Tallahassee, Florida State's Pro Day, and Cutter said the only input I had was they just asked me, can you work with him? Number one draft pick and a quarterback, and that's all the input you had? I just thought that was interesting. Well, apparently Grizzard had more input. He actually was down and dirty in the research of Egbuka. And the thing I found interesting, Grizzard said he has two good friends on Ryan Day's staff. So I just wonder if Grizzard got some intel from his good friends. He didn't specify who they were. They may have been Ryan Day for all I know. But I wonder if he got some intel that other teams did not get. I don't know.
Now, Lee, having said all that, Ruck, I think Light's fingerprints are all over the Egbuka pick. I think that Light, with the input from his scouts.
And Bowles.
And Bowles, was enamored with Egbuka.
Was he?
Enamored. Now, I got a question for you two guys, and I'm going to put you on the spot here. True or false, Baker Mayfield had as much to do with picking Josh Grizzard as Todd Bowles did.
Sage, this is your podcast.
I'm going to start it off.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
I think there's a lot of truth to that statement. I do. And certainly more than Jason Light did. I don't think Light was that involved. Of course, I think that's Bowles' call. He's going to pick his own staff. That's the way it usually works in the NFL. But Mayfield has reached such a stature in the organization, and with Bowles in particular, in only 2 years, that I think his stamp of approval absolutely pushed Grizzard over the top. And if Mayfield said I'm a little bit lukewarm on him, Grizzard's out there looking for work right now. He wouldn't have had the buck job.
I think it would be smart to do that. He is your guy.
And Baker, I don't have a problem with it.
No, of course not. You got to go. You go with your people that have got you there, and it's Baker Mayfield. And Baker Mayfield, he's running the offense. So I think that's a good move. That's a smart move.
He didn't pick Egbuka and Mayfield.
Two things.
But he had a big part in taking Grizzard.
I want to stay with that. I want to go back to Egbuka, but you just mentioned something, and Lee, you were there. Kevin Carberry is the run game coordinator, also O-line coach, and then Pacucci. They bring him in, Brian. They were talking, Sage, about the O-line where Graham Barton, he leaned on Hainsey a lot. He leaned on Hainsey and Baker in the meeting room when it came down to protection meetings. They have meetings for everything. Hainsey's gone. So he said that Graham Barton is rough on himself. He's actually hard on himself. He's smart. But interesting, like you said, maybe Hainsey on the field wasn't anything, but I think that that's a loss that if Graham Barton has got to take the next step up. The other point is the Buccaneers did not draft an offensive lineman. So, yes, that offensive line, that starting offensive line is good, but then it's this Majors, Elijah Klein. Maybe he takes a big step. This Chekwuma from Nigeria, he's kind of a project. He never even played football, even in high school. So I think it's a good point. And you can't, look, you can't draft everybody. You got to have, you know, some spots that are going to be.
Right.
Right. So, but the offensive line, you better hope that somebody doesn't go down.
In the words of Lee DeKemper, these guys you mentioned, potential. Haven't done it, right, Lee?
Haven't done it. Some of your listeners, Ira, will probably punch in their windshield when I say this, because he was hated in many circles in Bucks fandom. Bucks are going to miss Hainsey. And school. They're going to miss him. What they meant to the team off the field. Worse, when he did a recent podcast with Brandon Thorne, just raved how Schooley, as soon as he came out the field, Schooley was there telling him what was working, what wasn't working. Because Wirfs doesn't have eyes in the back of his head.
That's instant feedback, Lee.
Instant feedback and good feedback. And he did the same thing with Getke. But he said whoever was the closest to the Bucs sideline on that possession, Schooley would break down the closest tackle. And so half the game, obviously, was Wirfs. Wirfs just raved about him. Now, I know there's some skeptics out there saying, oh, what the hell? They got offensive coaches on the freaking staff, on the salary.
And Rock, while I don't disagree that Hainsey had an impact with Barton in particular in sharpening his technique and his focus as a rookie, at the same time, there was a widespread feeling within the building, widespread, that Barton is going to make a major step up, even though as a rookie, he was pretty darn good. You give him a B plus, they think he's going to be an A this year, even without Hainsey.
I would put my money on that. And speaking of rookie, the first round pick that you talked about, Egbuka. So Kafense Heinsohn, he's the new pass game coordinator. He was saying that, you know, they're all raving about the kid. Okay. And that he can play all three positions. And not only will he be, he thinks he's going to be good. They're all saying the same thing, though. Bowles said this, and Jason Light said this. This pick did not have anything at all to do with Chris Godwin rehabbing another serious injury. They said it's nice, but this was their guy? Do you guys believe that?
I kind of do. You can't tell me that Godwin's injury was thoroughly out of their mind when they were researching the draft. You can't tell me that. Greg Cosell put it better than anyone. And Greg Cosell, NFL Films, a draft maven.
You put a lot of stock in Cosell. You like
him. He's legit. He admits he learned the game and how to monitor film from Bill Walsh.
There's no higher. Higher accolades.
That's as high as it gets. Yeah. And he goes, now I'm not in the Bucks draft room. I wasn't there. He said, but this sure looks like they had Egbuka rated top 10. And they're sitting there at 19, and one of their top 10 guys is still there, and they're like, we got to be true to our board.
I think that's absolutely right.
I texted someone with the Bucks a couple weeks ago about this, but I sent him the Twitter of Greg Cosell saying it's the video clip. He didn't say Cosell was right. He didn't say he was wrong. This gentleman said, very fair.
While you love to say underwear football, you love to say it, you also say at the same time, from what you saw, Egbuka's the real deal.
He's smooth. See, to backtrack a little bit, what you guys are, you know, what we're hearing from people. Oh, Graham Barton is dominating. We're hearing this stuff. Let's tap the brakes. It's May. It's underwear football. They can't hit. They can't tackle.
Braswell's going to shock the world.
Yeah, let's calm down, you know. Perfect example of this, CBS Sports. It's a clip of the Jaguars underwear football practice. I'm not exactly sure what they ever teach these guys. But you know where I'm going with this? You saw it too? The best way I could describe it, these guys with pads on, I guess it was a tackling exercise, but they didn't have pads on. And again, you can't hit. Not even a dummy. You can't hit. It appears, the best way I could describe this, overly aggressive client in a Nevada establishment that charges by the hour. That's the best way I could describe it. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. It certainly wasn't football.
Well, it's the Jaguars. All right, hey, let's get to Baker Mayfield because it's the Jaguars. Thad Lewis, who is the QB coach, raving Baker, all this stuff. However, he was hitting on, they are really concerned about him running, getting injured. He turned 30, and he told him, he goes, look, you're in your 30s now. You can't do what you did when you're 20. If it's for a first down, if it's at the end of a game, it's a play we need, okay, you go and you try to get it. But sometimes throw it away, sometimes get down. Can Baker change? And is that something that we should be concerned a little bit about, the way he plays, Sage?
Rock, I understand what they're coming from, but at the same time, Lee, it's tough to tamp down somebody's instincts. It's difficult. And when things break down, you know, the offensive line's not perfect. I think they run block better than they pass protected last year, in my opinion. Other years, I thought they pass protected better than they ran because there was no running game. So it was a low bar. But, Lee, I'm the guy that's been saying for 2 years, I can't believe how effective Mayfield is as a running back on third and eight, picking up those critical first downs.
Yes.
Those are the things that keep drives going, Lee. They add up to points. Throw it away. He's not Tom Brady. I mean, Brady was the master. Mm-hmm. He was the man. We live another day. But Mayfield is effective, and Brady wasn't at all as a runner. And I'm kind of okay with the way Mayfield plays. I don't want to mess with him.
I see what Thad Lewis was getting at. Those hits take a toll when you're on the wrong side of 30. And he's also looking at Baker's longevity. You know, he gets beat up, his career's shorter, and that's what, 35, 40 million less minimum? That adds up after a while. A million here, a million there. Pretty soon you're talking real money. Don't you run a danger, if you're trying to temper Mayfield, don't you run the danger of also taking the edge off him, and that's what makes him what he is?
I think that's the other side of the coin.
Yeah. If Baker's not Baker, is he that effective? I don't think so. So it's a very, very thin line. A very thin line.
We used to hear the same thing, Rock, about Josh Allen. Buffalo's worried about Josh Allen, and you gotta stop this. He's taking too many hits. But that's Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. That's what makes him an MVP candidate every year, and they're winning 11, 12 games.
By the way, I sat with Bruce Arians at a bar one time watching the Buffalo game, and he was outraged at Josh Allen running like that. He said, "Where the hell is the coach? Coach needs to sit down on this guy. He's going to ruin a
game." Now, I don't like the way he holds the ball out there like that. I think that's Mayfield doesn't do that.
Arians thought that that Josh Allen took way too much punishment. I don't think he's wrong with that.
A little bit reckless.
Real quick, when we're talking about Baker Mayfield and punishment, a couple weeks ago, Jim Miller and Pat Kerwin had a screed about, of all people, Kyle Trask for like 10, 12 minutes. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Jim Miller added that Baker was sacked 40 times last year. And Miller said, as good of an offensive line as the Bucs have, that's way too high of a figure for sacks. And like Thad Lewis said, Miller was worried about Mayfield getting beat up.
And what Thad Lewis also had to say is, the 14 picks, 11 were situational football. If he's not running like that all the time or trying to get, sometimes he's trying to really go that extra mile, and they want him to cut down on the turnovers. That's the biggest thing for Arians. I mean, he was on a couple of shows this week, and he's like, his thing is like, just don't turn it over. And Belichick was sitting down on one of these podcasts, and he was like, they said, what made Brady so good? And he was like, you win by moving the chains. Brady always, he didn't go for the crazy play. He checked down. He didn't turn it over. He didn't put us in bad situations. And I think that's what Thad Lewis is saying. Don't get me wrong. It's sounding like they're like, oh, they're really trying to, you know, curtail his success and this. No, they love what he's doing. But you got to get those turnovers down. And they just want him to play. He's been able to. They don't want him to be on the bench. I think that's what I'm trying to say, what Thad was saying, Lee.
I understand that. But we're not talking about Jameis Winston here. Let's take it, in the words of DeKemper, take it easy over here.
That's Mike North.
Baker
okay.
Mayfield just had a sensational season.
71 completion percentage.
Sensational.
Yeah.
They're averaging 29.5 freaking points.
Yeah.
So take it easy nitpicking this guy.
Thad Lewis also said this, and I'm going to backtrack a little bit. You know, a lot of Bucs fans, they don't like this defense.
The scheme?
Period. They don't like this defense. I can see their point to a degree. You know, I'm still uncomfortable about inside linebacker. I don't know what we're going to get with Antoine Winfield. I sure hope it's the All-Pro, but I don't know. I'm thinking I'm living in some kind of adverse universe where I watched the Bucs season last year and I did not see Antoine Winfield on the field.
And you're not sure Reddick's going to get back to his past form?
We don't know about Reddick, Smith, who knows? So the middle of the defense. Now, I had a guy, for example, he commented on Joe Bucs fan last night. He wanted answers to this. He was outraged that Light still has Jamel Dean on the roster. Why is he keep this guy, blah, blah, blah.
Sounds then, like my brother from another mother and, over
and
there, really.
This guy was just outraged. He wanted Light to just completely rehaul the second and third levels of the defense. He thinks Light stayed, but what's wrong with this guy? He was going off about the defense and Light. Well, I hope this guy's not listening to this. I hope he's listening, but not what I'm going to say. Thad Lewis, he's talking about Mayfield. Yep. Talk about protecting the ball. Yep. Talked about team ball. And he said, we got a good defense. Now,
Who said it? Lewis?
Thad Lewis. Now,
they should have got him off the podium right then and there.
What, had his blood alcohol shit tested? Now, assistant coaches, the head coach, scouts, assistant general managers, the general manager, every one of them have been pretty clear, crystal clear. They're content with the defense, the way they've constructed it to this point. They're very content. I remember Rob McCartney, after the draft was over, he said, we like our linebackers. You know, people, they were asking about inside line. We like our linebackers. Every person that's had a chance to speak publicly, they're like, well, good with the defense. But, boy, the fans don't see that. Don't see it at all. And I don't think the fans are exactly wrong.
Rock, speaking of Jamel Dean, I'm kind of with Steve. And, you know, now I take it a step further because I don't even like the guy. Uh-huh. But Steve says he's making too much money. Uh-huh. So maybe, you know, maybe he's got to take less money to remain on the team. We'll see.
He might. But, I mean, he's there, and I don't think it's going to change now. I don't think there's going to be any more drastic moves between now.
Well, I think this Morrison kid's going to press him.
There you go. But what we see is what we get. Hey, before we go any further, Sage, because I do want to get to the running backs, Skip Pete was out there, and I know that's always a hot topic, so we're going to hit on that next, and also with Todd Bowles now. He's coming out of his shell. Oh, my God. But, Sage, is there something you want to tell our listeners about Florida's elite restoration, Sage?
I got to tell you that Josh and his crew, and I know him personally, and I know a lot of the guys that work for him, they're doing a fantastic job. They're really a growing company, and it's easy to see why, Rock. And the most important point that Steve and Lee and I want to emphasize to our listeners about Florida's elite restoration and Bill Curry Ford, because we're driving Bill Curry Ford vehicles. It's not like we're talking up somebody that we're not familiar with. And in terms of Florida's elite restoration, Rock, we know people, eyewitnesses, that have worked with these people and have used them. Sean Sullivan has used them twice. Rock, you've had an experience with them. Even though you didn't sign up, you got an idea of how
they
operate.
They set me straight. They helped me out tremendously.
They're very classy, and they always take the side of the customer. And they know the insurance side of the business. That's a big bonus, Rock. A lot of places can't work both sides of the street, so to speak. And they know the ins and outs of what the insurance people want to ding you for. And they're going to help you in that regard. No wonder this is a fast-growing company, Rock.
It is Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. All right, so Skip Pete, it's funny. A lot of these press conferences with the re-signing with Godwin, and they would have them out there. And Skip Pete was always, he goes, and he sits in the back. We're like, Skip,
that's a character, Rock.
He goes, I want to see what's coming here. I want to see what Ibuka's about. I like being here. But he took to the podium, and he was saying, in all of his years, even with Dallas, he always uses two or three running backs. And whoever has the hot hand is going to play. He also had a good point. People ask, like, well, who's going to be the starter? He goes, if you're the starter, that's for one play. How many snaps are you going to get? Sometimes a guy that he's hot, he might have 70 snaps. We need both. He even said three running backs. We need both. Then he goes, you know what? When you get your opportunity, say Rashad White's not getting the rock. And he goes, when you get your opportunity, then if you don't get it here, you're going to get paid somewhere. This is the NFL. So he thinks that they are in a really good spot when it comes to the running backs.
Lee, to that point, the days of the workhorse running back seem to be over unless your name's Derrick Henry or maybe a healthy McCaffrey. Maybe. But those guys are superstars, Lee. There's a reason they get the ball 25 times. So, Lee, I understand what Skip Pete's saying, but you know how I feel about Bucky Irving, and I don't want to see any kind of equal distribution between Bucky Irving, Sean Tucker, and Rashad White. I'm sorry. I'm out the window if that happens. I'll be screaming on this podcast so loud, you'll have to turn it down. Bucky Irving is a rare talent. He's a rare talent. He almost single-handedly resurrected this running game with help from a better offensive line, better scheming. But, Lee, you watch Bucky Irving for, You know, and he's not getting a lot of carries till all of a sudden 10, 12 weeks in. All of a sudden there's a revelation, something that I saw 6 weeks before that. Hey, this guy's dynamic. This guy's a hell of a rookie. So, Lee, is there any reason Bucky Irving's not your main guy after averaging 5.4 freaking yards a carry?
Main guy is different than workhorse.
I said main guy.
Yeah, main guy is different than workhorse. So I just want to clarify. I can't see this guy getting 25 carries a game.
I didn't say he should.
Well, I'm just I'm clarifying.
Yeah.
No, he shouldn't. The bulk of the running should go to him, no question about it. But I think they got to be careful because let's be honest. I feel like Mike Francesa here. Let's be honest. You know, the goal of the Bucks isn't leading the league in rushing. The goal is January and beyond. Get this guy to January healthy. So I think, yeah, you got to win games, but you also got to keep in mind this guy can't get beat up. Too bad. He's a little guy. He's not Derrick Henry. Yeah, so how you balance that, I don't know. Now, here's a way. You get him touches, but maybe not necessarily a lot of hits. Passes. Get out of bounds. Got the first down, get out of bounds.
I think this offense looks different when Bucky Irving's on the field.
Oh, no question.
I'm sorry.
No question.
That's just the way I feel.
I got to hit on Todd Bowles because Todd Bowles, you know, we all know how a lot of fans feel about Todd Bowles.
For a multitude of reasons.
Multitude of reasons. But, Sage, Todd Bowles, and I know it was written up on Joe Bucks Fan, he went in studio to Channel 8. It's for a show called Rooted in Progress. And it was more about Bowles. There were some football questions, and we'll get into that, and the tush push and Desmond Watson. But Bowles sat down there, and he was talking, and he was asked about his childhood. And he was asked about growing up in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And it was in the projects, and it was a rough area. And
you're a Jersey kid,
right? That's rough. It's right by Newark. It's rough. And he had this survival mindset where he did not come home summers after his second year of college because he didn't want to go back. He wanted to stay away. He was focused. My question to you is, what do you think about Bowles, like, actually opening up, talking about his life? I don't think he doesn't normally do that.
I've been told, Rock, many times, and I think Lee has too, by New York reporters, maybe even Washington reporters that dealt with him when he was a player, Lee, in the 80s, that there's a lot of facets to Todd Bowles. He's heavily into music. He loves soul, you know, and maybe some hip-hop. Just like I'm in the middle of hip-hop, right, Lee? You know me. Anything after 1985, I'm out the window.
I was in 77.
After Creedence. So after the Allman Brothers, I'm done, Lee. But there's a lot of facets to Todd Bowles. And Lee, we've had private conversations with Bowles, and he's a different cat than he is at the podium, just like a lot of guys are.
Well, notice once the season hits, he really clams up at the podium. Really clams up. I don't know if he's trying to be like Parcells. We all know he coached with Parcells. I don't know, but I mean, he's a little, like right now, he's somewhat loose at the podium. Get him away from the podium, he's very loose.
I'll give you an example. And Rock was standing there next to me at the Arians Foundation when I was talking to Bowles. And Rock heard the conversation. And Bowles, I think Rock was the one that asked him, what was the input from Bruce Arians on your life? And he said his ability to forecast plays, and this is the way the game's going, and flies it up quickly. And he mentioned sarcasm a little bit. And I'm standing next to Bowles, and Rock's next to me. And I go, you've been known to be a little sarcastic too, coach. And he looks at me, and he laughed. And he goes, you mess with me, you're going to get it back. You're going to get it back. So he's got a full personality. He doesn't always show it, Rock.
He also, when I followed up and I said, you know, Jason Light said that, and all the staff, the players that you're drafting, they're good people. They love football. And he's like, yeah, but I don't want no choir boys. Now, I'm not saying don't want them coming from the pen, but
going to Alcatraz. I
want a mean streak. And that was actually kind of funny.
That was.
Also on this show, on Rooted in Progress, the schedule came out. Bowles really likes it. 2 points I wanted to hit on. He said he loves mid-season buys. You don't have it early in the year, and you want to have something. He also wanted a Thursday night game late in the year, and he gets it week 15 because it's almost like a mini bye week. So he really likes this schedule. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I'm not a head coach, but to answer Ira's question, why wouldn't you? I can tell you why. You ever notice that teams that win the Super Bowl have late buys?
No, I haven't noticed.
Oh, yeah. It's not a coincidence.
They also have good quarterbacks.
That helps. That helps.
It does. It does.
Unless you're in Buffalo.
No, I didn't realize that, Lee. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So, you know, that they're fresher on the stretch drive. That's why I was, when the Bucks won the Super Bowl, I was giddy that that buy came in December, if I remember right.
You know what I think, Lee? You know what I think Bowles meant by that? That you don't have 12 weeks in a row.
True.
That you're playing. You know, the bye breaks it up. Mm-hmm. And even if you have a late bye, that means you're playing the first 11, 12 games without a break. I think Bowles likes the fact that that breaks the season into two halves.
How much of a factor that he may like the bye at the middle of the season, how much of a factor is you have a brand-new offensive coordinator and that, you know, if you have an earlier bye, it's probably you could probably plug some holes. You know, because this brand new guy gives you some time to repair things for the rest of the season.
You know, Rock, he also might be happy that it's a midseason bye because for the last two freaking years, they've had a midseason malaise.
Yes.
And it gives them time to, you know, yeah. Both times they bounced back from after the bye.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, and I loved the schedule down the stretch those last 6 weeks. It's beautiful. Very favorable.
No doubt about it. Okay, the tush push. Before I get to the big Gator, okay, and what he had to say, and you guys wrote about it on Joe Bucks Fan, but the tush push. The Glazier voted to ban it, but we got the word from Light, and also Levante David and Todd Bowles, they were like, hey, man, keep it in. They've got it down. We did a good job about it. How did you feel about that? Were you surprised that Glazier voted to ban the tush push?
Well, maybe he looked at the schedule and saw that they were playing the Eagles again. Even though the Bucks have had success, yeah. Count me among the detractors. I don't like the play, and I don't really think it's a football play, and I'll leave it at that. I don't think it's a football play.
I wanted to keep it for this reason. I can see it's a rugby play, you think, more so than football? Okay. I don't like the fact that, you know, for decades you couldn't push a player, and all of a sudden now you can.
Didn't the Eagles hire a rugby coach?
I'm not sure.
I think they did.
They may have.
That tells you all you need to know about this freaking thing.
I don't like the rule that you can push people, but I embrace this play because I'm so sick and tired of Rich McKay has done his best to ruin football, take football out of football. He's the chairman of the competition committee. That's where the rule changes come from. He always pushes for less football. Always. It's been going on for like 20 years.
Like they could take enough. Taking the kickoff away.
Yeah, enough.
Kickoff
football
return.
Is football. It's not freaking indoor right. swimming. Right. It's football. And I've just gotten so sick and tired of it. And finally, enough owners had enough. You know
cojones, what, cojones. Yeah.
To stand up to this guy for a change. Thank you. And that's why I embraced this play, because I got tired of year after year after year, they add more stupid rules to the rule book, where now you got to have 20 years of legal experience to know what the hell a freaking catch is or not. And they take football out of football. Enough of this. And finally, they did that. I'm happy about that. But here, I wrote about this, about the interesting thing about the Glazers, and Bowles has been very vocal about, you know, if you can't stop it, that's your problem. And the Bucks have had some success. Before I go any further, I think the Eagles have converted 83% of the tush push the last 3 years. Guess what the percentage is of quarterback sneaks, regular quarterback sneaks?
61?
84%. So let's relax that this is this tush push is unstoppable.
And you know who used to be the
quarterback? Brady.
Brady. Yep. Brady was fantastic.
Yep. So that's why I was against it. I just find it very interesting that Bowles was very vocal he was opposed to that rule.
Banning it. Yeah.
He was very, very vocal about it. And Tristan Wirfs was on, Rob Maddie, I guess, has a podcast. He put a clip of the podcast on Twitter, and Wirfs was like, thank goodness they didn't ban this. If you can't stop it, that's your problem. That's not the Eagles' problem. He goes, oh, by the way, the Bucks have had success with it, too.
I will
but
say.
But I found it interesting that the best player they have, who's not named Levante David and Mike Evans, and their head coach are very vocal, like, thank goodness this wasn't banned, yet the Glazers voted to ban it.
I will say this, though, Rock. It's a huge advantage for the Eagles.
Without
because
doubt.
It keeps the chains moving, Rock. Now, you can't get into third and one and fourth and one situations as a defense because they're going to convert. They're going to convert.
All right, so staying with the tush push. Bowles on this show was asked about the big Gator, the Terminator, tush pusher, Desmond Watson, and he said, quote, he can come off the ball. He's getting in shape. Oh, what about Florida? He goes, he grew up here. Maybe he, when I first saw him, I said, I think Shiloh Sanders has more of a shot, honestly.
I'm not sure he's going to make the team.
I don't know. But with Bowles even just saying this, what do you make of that? He can get off the ball, and that he is getting in shape.
If he can get to a decent playing weight, Lee, I mean, 350, 360.
That's a lot of weight to lose in a couple months. That's like 100 and some pounds.
Lee,
holy
the history of the NFL tells you 400-pounders.
I understand.
They
Who was the guy for the Packers that was a monster?
Gilbert something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gilbert Brown?
Yes. What did he weigh? Like 380,
yeah,
390?
Yeah, 380. And Lee, I want to weigh in on one more thing. Another rule that's being discussed, the onside kick. Here's all I'm going
to
say about
it. Go back to the original.
Here's all I'm going to say. And it's part of this whole thing about adding points in the league and everything's for the offense and this and that. Whatever you do, whatever rule you make up and adjustment you make and tweak the onside kick, you better not mess with one thing. You better keep making it very unlikely that it will succeed.
Don't make it easy.
Don't give them a 25% chance. You give them an 8% chance because it's not fair. Rock, you're kicking a team's ass for 57 minutes.
And a fluke play.
And then a fluke thing, you give them another, and then you end up losing the game. I don't like that. That's not football. Make it very hard to recover the onside kick.
Was it the original onside kick, like 8 to 10%, something like that?
I like 8 to 10%. Yeah. I'm okay with that. Don't make it 20.
Since we're talking about rules, and I'll get back to Big Gator. Since we're talking about rules, Art Rooney III was quoted about, they wanted to reseed the playoffs, not guaranteed division winners, a home game. He was outraged by it. And I can't remember where I read this, but he was quoted. It was from the meeting, from when they were discussing it in the room. And he said, now, if you want to take away a home game from a team that has a sub-500 record, I'm open-minded to that.
That's what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
That's what we've been talking about.
He goes, I'm
Rock.
Open-minded to that. But he was dead set against the change.
Rock, you put the stipulation in. If the division winner has at least a 500 record, then they get that home game. And if they're sub-500, like the Bucks a few years ago at 8-9, they don't get a home game against a team that finished 11-6. That's not fair.
Yeah, thank you. That's not fair. Well said. Bob Big Gator, from the instant they signed, the Bucks signed this guy, everybody and their brother, oh, this is the Philly Tush Push. Is this going to stop? Do we really think that the Bucks signed a guy? Who knows how much money they had to give him? Do we really think they signed a guy for four plays a year?
One
for
game?
Four snaps?
Come on.
Not just one game, four snaps.
Four snaps, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on. And it's not like the Bucks struggled with that play.
He's got his work cut out, Rock, making the team. He's got his work cut
Without out. A doubt. Without a doubt. But you know what? That got more publicity between him and Shiloh Sanders, I swear to God, than even Emeka Ibuka. Hey, listen, I want to have a closing thought from you, Sage. I'm Rock Riley, in for Steve Isbitz. He's going to be back on the next podcast. Lee's always bringing it with the strong takes. Don't forget Florida's EliteRestoration.com. They are the best. And also, any if you're new, used service, it is BillCurryFord.com. Sage, your closing comment, Sage, to Buccaneer fans.
My closing comment is very simple, Rock. Keep reading Joe Bucks fan for this reason. We will soon be on the dog days of summer after mandatory minicamp, which ends in about mid-June. Training camp doesn't open until late July. You think Joe Bucks fan is going to lay dormant for those 6 or 7 weeks? This guy I'm looking at right now, Lee DeKemper, he's going to post fresh stories for your pleasure, most of them at 6 o'clock in the morning. The guy don't sleep. He don't sleep. By the way, Lee, how'd your sprinkler guy come out there the other day? Did you get that all straightened out?
Yes and no. We finally got the sprinklers working, but alas, there's like 3 sprinkler heads that aren't working.
It always happens like that, Rock.
Next week, they're coming out to finish the job, so to speak.
These guys don't sleep, Rock, and you know it better than anybody. 5 fresh stories a day, every freaking day.